James chapter 2, and I am so excited. This one is big. Faith and works. Are we saved by faith or works? And is James' answer different from Paul's answer? That's the second half. First, James takes on another beast entirely, judgmental Christians. Now pay attention here. Those two topics are in the same chapter for a reason, and the connection between them just might be the key to the whole thing. Now we left off with a warning from James for those who consider themselves religious. He's talking to Christians who like to follow the rules and see themselves as good religious folks. That context is key. Chapter 2, verse 1. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Favoritism is a peculiar hypocrisy in church. To illustrate what he means, James paints a picture of a rich man and a poor man walking into a church gathering, and the rich guy gets the good seat, and the poor sits on the ground. That's not right. In verse 4, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Notice his words, discriminate, judge. Why is it that religion so often leads to discrimination and judgmentalism? Christians aren't the only ones, but there is something particularly egregious about seeing it in church. A story from 1860s London, Industrial Revolution. One fateful Sunday, a 17-year-old young man walked into a respectable church with a group of working-class poor behind him. The smell was pungent and pervasive. These people never bathed, not even the fishmonger. The young man had been preaching the gospel in the slums, and people were saved, but they had no church. He was sure they would be welcomed here, but the only empty pews were all up front, the pew rents. Rich people paid for velvet-lined seats, but rarely used them. It did not go well. After service, the pastor offered him a deal. Your new friends can sit in an outer room where they can listen and others won't smell. Do Christians have a problem with discriminating or judging people? James says church should be different because Jesus is different. As for rich and poor, James reminds us that God has chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom. That person is God's child, an heir. Treat them accordingly. And James is a little stunned that we exalt the rich of all people. The rich. Listen, the equality of all people is a Christian ideal. It is the Bible that brought that notion to our culture. People don't expect to see equality of rich and poor in worldly settings. Go to an NBA game and the rich people sit up front because they pay for it. Capitalism. But church should be different because Jesus was different. The world is not rejecting church for its Christianness. The world is walking out of church for its Christian hypocrisy. It's not our message they have a problem with. It's the way we treat other people. They like the message, but if it doesn't translate into action. Historically, the church enforced discrimination. Racial segregation has often remained in church long after the world integrates. Praise God, we have made progress. The discrimination today is less codified, but very much present. The world watches the way we talk about, treat, and judge those who think differently, maybe on politics or issues of race, gender, sexual orientation. People disagree on lots of things. The issue here is not who's right or wrong, it's how Christians act towards someone different. Do we question their salvation because they vote differently? Again in verse 4, have you not become judges with evil thoughts? Now remember, the Bible is meant to rebuke and correct us, so I hope this hits home. Don't take it from me. Read the Word. And James could just leave the message there. Don't judge. But that would be like removing a weed by clipping it. We have to get to the root. And the root of judgmentalism is how those religious people view God's law. And what about that? The religious person might question here, are we tossing out God's law? No more right or wrong? Read verse 8 carefully. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. Watch the words. Royal law, as in queen of all laws. Love your neighbor. Keeping that law is doing right. Verse 9. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. James is still aiming at the religious here, the self-righteous who think they're good because they follow God's law. But they're judgmental. Judging others in a discriminating way isn't love, so it's breaking the biggest law. It doesn't work to say, I follow most of the law. His argument here is nearly identical to Paul's argument in Galatians 5. Try to be good by the law, but break just one, and you're a lawbreaker. Self-righteous living will make you feel one of two things: arrogant when you get it right, and guilty when you screw up, or when you realize that arrogance is a sin. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Circle that verse and read it carefully. Verse 12 unlocks the chapter. The law that gives freedom. What is it? Old Testament law brings shackles. Living by some set of Christian standards is self-righteous. That law convicts. The law that gives freedom is love. Jesus loved you when you were a sinner. He forgives you. So speak like you're forgiven. Act like you're forgiven. Measure to others what Jesus measured to you. Stop judging and start forgiving. Verse 13. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy. That is what God wants from us. Self-righteous law living makes you judge. Receiving his mercy makes you merciful. 14. What good is it if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Wait, is James saying we're saved by our deeds? As in work for salvation? Doesn't Paul say we're saved by grace through faith? Careful, context is crucial. Someone claims to have faith. I'm a Christian, but they have no deeds. What sort of deeds is he talking about? In context, he just said, act like someone forgiven. Act according to love. Don't judge. Be merciful. If you don't do those deeds, what good is your faith? Remember when Paul said we're saved by grace and not works? Why? So that no one will boast. You know, judgy and arrogant, like they're better. The very next verse in Ephesians 2 says that God did that work in us so that we would do good works. Paul and James both say that our salvation by faith should drive us to do good works without judging others. And James makes it practical. If you see a needy brother and bless them with words, but do nothing to help physically, what good is it? In verse 17, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Dead faith. It has words, but no action. It receives mercy, but doesn't give it. Faith should be alive. Remember that 17-year-old in London? He left that church frustrated and determined to do differently. In 1865, he founded the Christian Mission. He invented the soup kitchen. Poor people got saved, got help, and got equipped to help others. In his lifetime, God raised up 100,000 dedicated doers with practical plans that made huge strides to alleviate poverty, homelessness, prostitution, and addiction on multiple continents, and always focused all efforts on saving the lost through the gospel. William Booth is credited with changing the way Christians do mission and treat the poor. His legacy lives on today in the Salvation Army. Now that's active faith. Verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. In other words, they're separating faith from deeds, like they're two different things. James says, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. Can't separate them. Real faith, living faith, does things. Without action, it's just belief, not the same thing. Verse 19. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even demons believe that and shudder. We are not saved by belief. We're saved by grace through faith. And real faith does real works of mercy. Those works don't earn salvation, but they are evidence that salvation happened. James never says that you are saved by works. That would be a direct contradiction to the first half of the chapter. James makes it very clear that working for salvation by the old law makes you judgmental and proves you guilty. Don't do those works. Do works of mercy. Love people. And James offers evidence that faith without deeds is useless from the Old Testament. Abraham and Rahab were each righteous by faith, but that same faith took action. In verse 24, you see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. Read carefully. The word considered does not mean made righteous. It literally means shown to be righteous. Your actions are the outward evidence that salvation happened. God's grace gives salvation. Your faith receives salvation, and your works demonstrate salvation to the world. They prove that your faith is alive. In verse 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.